Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
It's Making Babies. Professor Shane Higgins, consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street, is with us here in the programme today. Shane, good afternoon. You're going to be talking about gestational diabetes for listeners. And I know there's questions and queries coming in about that. The number is 087 1400 106 if listeners have WhatsApp questions for you. Before we get to that, I just want to touch on something this week with in relation to the Rotunda Hospital. So I appreciate this isn't your area, your hospital. But it is something that you've talked to us about here on the show a little bit earlier this year in relation to public only contracts. What was your reaction to this? Like, how will it change things for our listeners tuned in today going forward? What impact will it have?
Well, I suppose, you know, the impact of the Sláinte Care contract is something we've known about for some time. And as you say, we discussed this previously. And what it will do is it will phase out the option of private maternity care for women in Irish hospitals. And the impact is that that will be a model that will no longer be available. And when that will start to bite, well, we're already starting to see patients who are looking to book that model of care in our hospital who are unable to do so. Because as the ratio of Sláinte Care contracts or public-only contracts to the old-style contract changes in favour of the new public-only contract, there are fewer and fewer people who will be able to offer this. And currently about 39% of women in our hospital avail of private health insurance to either choose semi-private or private. That 39% of women will now have to be absorbed into the public system in terms of being seen at clinics. The numbers in clinics are going to go up. And that's going to be a difficult thing for hospitals to absorb, because that's a big number. 40% of women attending our hospital are choosing a semi-private or private model of care. So that is going to have to be resourced. And I know that is something that has been mentioned in the narrative and the dialogue this week. But I think it's just something that people need to appreciate, that there's going to be 40% more women seen in clinics that heretofore would have been seen in the consultant's own time in their private clinics, whether they're private or semi-private. And I just think that that needs to be given a little bit more thought as to how that's going to happen.
But if the consultant is no longer doing the private work or private appointments in the hospital, then will that time not be...
No. You see, whether you're an old style contract like I am or a new public only contract, you're contracted to 37 public hours per week. So your private patients are seen outside that 37 hours. So it's not suddenly going to increase the number of consultants or increase the time that they have to dedicate to the public system. That's already there. That's not going to change. So what is changing is that shift from that 40% being seen in private rooms or private clinics to the public system. And that has something that has to be thought about as to how that's going to be absorbed and managed going forward. But how quickly it's going to bite to the point where there will be no private, I think you're talking probably 5 to 8 years before we see the disappearance of private maternity services.
Okay. So for any of our listeners tuned in today that are maybe that are currently pregnant, it won't have any impact for
Well,
for them,
it will. It already is starting to, because the numbers of consultants who are now able to offer private maternity care is diminishing, the numbers of patients they can take on is getting fewer. So patients who heretofore would probably have been able to get private cover if that's what they wished will not from the end of the year. Some are starting to find it more difficult to find a consultant.
Okay. You're with us today. We're talking about gestational diabetes. What is it, first of all?
Well, it's an endocrine disorder involving how we manage our sugar levels, leading to, I suppose, more highs. Highs more concerning than lows, sugar levels in our bloodstream. It's a condition that we're seeing more of it. And you can, broadly speaking, break it down into patients who already have a diabetic illness before they embark upon pregnancy. And then that's about 15% of our diabetic population. And then the others are patients who develop diabetes in pregnancy. And they may have nothing more than a diet control to control their sugar levels. Some will be started on a medication called metformin, and then a small number will be started on insulin. And we have a really good team of a diabetic team at the National Maternity Hospital, including consultant obstetricians, advanced midwife practitioners, dietitians, endocrinologists, who are dedicated we have a dedicated clinic to looking after patients with diabetes and pregnancy.
This might be a stupid question, but what causes it during pregnancy? Like, if you weren't diabetic or predisposed to it before you were pregnant, why would you suddenly be somebody who could
pregnancy is sometimes referred to as a diabetogenic state. So that means we kind of, you know, it's of some benefit to the fetus to have, you know, sugar levels that are slightly different to what we might normally have in everyday life. The placenta itself is a very important and complex endocrine organ, and between all of these things, it lends itself to patients becoming more diabetic, patients with a higher BMI, older women. These are more patients who are more at risk, and that's where it kind of has its impact.
Is there any way you can mitigate against it pre-pregnancy?
I suppose being fit, healthy, control your BMI could potentially help, but it's very difficult to pick up from a lineup who's going to get diabetes and who isn't, which is why it's sometimes, you know, not picked up early or not picked up at all. And that's where that whole screening process of our pregnant population comes in, whether you screen on the basis of risk factor, i.e. you have a primary family relative, or you have a history, or you're older, or you have a high BMI, or whether you screen the whole population. That's something that, you know, we still haven't made a complete decision on.
And how will you know that you have it? Like, what are the
symptoms?
You may not.
So we screen, you know, the typical symptoms of a diabetic patient, which would be peeing a lot, drinking a lot. You might have that in pregnancy anyway. It's not necessarily a clear feature. Sometimes on scans, we see that there's a lot of fluid around the baby, a condition called polyhydramnios, or the baby's very big, much bigger than we would expect it to be for the gestational age. They might be indicators that the patient has diabetes. And if we find those, particularly at, say, the 20-21 week scan, it may prompt us to doing a test to see if the patient is diabetic.
And is it more concerning for the baby or for mum?
It can have an impact on both. It can have an impact on how the placenta works, which is very important for us to monitor. But yeah, the baby more than the mum, really.
So then once you've delivered the baby, does it end?
Yes,
goes away straight away.
Most of the time, for most patients, it disappears. Now they're at risk of it in a future pregnancy, and they are at risk of maturity onset diabetes later in life. But for most patients, as soon as the pregnancy finishes, their sugars return to normal.
That's that. Okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. On that, listener wondering, Shane, is there anything I can do to avoid gestational diabetes? My sister had it. It was awful. I'm really hoping I won't develop it.
No, and it's funny.
Patients
will come in to me and they'll say, oh, I'm going for my diabetes test today and I ate a donut last night. And I said, well, you're not going to cause yourself to have diabetes with the donut.
Because of the donut.
But you will be able to control your sugars by having dietary restrictions if you're diagnosed. No, there isn't really. Not if you find yourself pregnant, then we would always encourage patients anyway to eat as healthily as possible. But you can't stop yourself from being diagnosed with diabetes.
But if your mother had it, or your, like this listener, your sister had it, are you more likely to get it then?
A primary relative would be a risk factor. A primary relative with a history of diabetes would be a risk factor.
So in the early day consultations, is that something you flag them with the consultant?
Yes, and that should be taken down in terms of your history when you go for those initial, that booking visit and that booking history.
Another listener wondering, they had developed gestational diabetes in their first pregnancy, now looking to try for a second. I'm wondering, does this mean I will definitely get it again? Should I flag it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're attending the same hospital, then it'll be in your medical record that you were diabetic in your previous pregnancy. If you're changing hospitals, very important that you point that out to your caregivers. It's not a guarantee. There's a higher risk, but certainly not a guarantee that you'll develop it again.
Okay. I'm finding my gestational diabetes exceptionally hard to manage.
Yeah.
So what would you now suggest I do?
Well, if you're attending a maternity hospital in this country, there's a diabetic team there that are in part responsible for your care. Obviously, your obstetrician is responsible for your pregnancy care as well. But the diabetic team in our hospital is some phenomenal midwives, advanced midwife practitioners. And then there's the diabetic team in the clinic, the consultant obstetricians, the endocrinologist, and they will coordinate your care. And some pretty significant advances have been made in terms of how we provide care. So there's the monitoring system, a closed loop monitoring system to continually monitor your blood sugars. And then there's the insulin pump to give you the appropriate doses at the various times during the day. So a lot of good work has been done. And in fact, some of the midwives in our hospital have been at the forefront of this. And also in terms of the consultations with these patients, instead of bringing patients into the clinics at a very regular intervals, we now do telehealth and telemedicine with these patients so that we can consult with them over platforms such as Teams, etc., and monitor their sugars. But your diabetic team at the hospital that you attend is very important in the management, and whether they move you from diet to metformin to insulin, that's their decision,
that's
and their call.
Their job. A listener here getting in touch to say, I'm a GP. I just want to mention as well, any woman now diagnosed with gestational diabetes or GDM is entitled to a free yearly checkup with their GP under chronic disease management to screen for diabetes.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And that's at increased risk that patients with gestational diabetes are at later in life. So they should avail of that screening opportunity with their GP so that they are picked up very early on if they were to develop diabetes.
Will I have extra scans throughout the pregnancy if I have this?
You will have an extra scan for growth in the third trimester, yeah, and any additional scans that your caregivers feel are necessary, but routinely you'll get a departmental growth scan as opposed to just a scan in the clinic. So yes, you will be monitored more carefully. Yeah.
And just finally, listener wondering about the at-home blood tests, the finger prick test for blood sugar monitoring. Will that assist in any way?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We've moved now to having a sensor. The patient has a sensor on their skin that picks up their blood sugars on a continuous level, and those levels are kind of fed back into a system in the hospital. So there's much more closer, careful, detailed monitoring of the patients now than there would be in the past.
And you might just clarify this question finally. If I have gestational diabetes, does it mean that I automatically have to have a C-section?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. In fact, we would try and avoid that. So carefully controlling your sugars, engagement with your team will decide on whether you can just wait and go into labour by yourself, which can sometimes be the case, or whether you might need to be induced that little bit early because of your sugars.
All of our conversations, chats with consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist Shane Higgins, they're all available on the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. You can get it under Making Babies for the moment. Shane Higgins from the National Maternity Hospital at Hollis Street. Shane, thanks a million for joining
pleasure.
Us
absolute
on
pleasure.
Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.